to the Mop Show. I'm Mason on Business Startups. Q here. This is how I do things. Big ideas for small budgets. Let's get to it. This episode of the Mop Show is part one of our top five things to do to improve your retail offering. What's happening, guys? It's the Mop Show. We're back in. I want to talk to you about top five things to make your retail business work. And I'm talking about offline retail here. I'm talking about bricks and mortar. I'm talking about the mum and pop store. I'm talking about the most classic form of merchant of trade there's ever been. And that's what we're talking about today. Top five things to make your retail work. And we're going to exclude here, for the purposes of this podcast, we're not going to talk about pricing. Okay, I'm not going to talk about pricing in such as being a discounter, because that for me isn't an effective method to make your retail business work long time. It isn't. It's a cheat. It's up, down, left, right, A and B. It's the cheat code. It's the super code. And it doesn't require any ingenuity, any brain power, and you won't be here for long. In fact, to make that point even clearer, last decade, we've seen a proliferation in the UK of stores like Poundland, Poundworld, Poundstore, 99p, my 99p stores. The amount of those businesses that have gone under, that have ceased trading, or that have consolidated and the others have gone away is insane. If you think that people are more price sensitive now, that people have less money to spend in their pocket, then those businesses should work all day long. But they don't, they've gone under, and that's because there is more to retail than price. So get that out of your head. So if you're thinking about doing retail and your friends or people around you said, oh no, well, be careful because of Amazon. Amazon's going to win everything. Like, Amazon is one day going to win everything until they get broken up, which has got to happen because they're a monopoly. But they will keep buying businesses. They will keep consolidating their businesses by buying them. Zappos, case in point, big shoe retailer. Amazon couldn't win against them. Look, don't get me wrong. Amazon were making peas when it comes to selling shoes. But eventually, they had to do the unthinkable, and that was spend over $1 billion on Zappos and just consolidated them and moved them into their company. So you could be the Zappos. You could be the next firm. But let's talk about the top five things to help your retail work, excluding discounting. All right, so let's talk about number one. Number one is convenience. Now, for all those who think retail bricks and mortar is dying, the high street's dying, I've read it in the news, right? The retail high street is not one company. It's a location filled with lots of businesses run by lots of different people with lots of different mindsets and lots of different stresses on their outside life. Some people don't understand new technology and they get caught and they get left behind. Accessibility. If you want a pint of milk right now, if you want a pint of your almond milk, your soy milk, your just normal bog standard out of a cow's udder milk, you are not going to go on Amazon, are you? No. You're going to go down to the nearest shop to your home and get yourself that pint of milk. Why? Because it's convenient. That is point one, be convenient. Now, I'm not talking about you can only get a shop right near the person who needs a pint of milk. What I'm talking about in terms of convenience is we as humans do things that are easy. It's called entropy. It's a scientific way of explaining how everything breaks down to chaos. Keeping order requires a huge amount of energy. And eventually, everything breaks down to the least energy resistant path, entropy. So let's bring some physics and some science and some chemistry into this. But that is how humans work to convenience. So why do people use Amazon? Not just because of the price, but because it's quite easy to use. Your one click swipe. PayPal have got it now. Businesses online try to reduce friction. They try to remove obstacles that make it take longer to make a purchase. When we have our website, when we built our website, I had a look at the forms that people filled in on the back end to make a payment, and it had a box saying first name and a box saying surname. Why would you make someone go first name, tab, second name? Just write your name, one name. You could write what, you could be John. I couldn't care less. So we removed a box that way. One step out of the form process, one element less of friction, a slight increase in convenience. That's minor, but these are the small details. So websites work in a massive way to make their sites super convenient and reduce friction. And you can do that too. So let's talk about it. It's not just about being the closest. If you live in a town where everyone around you, or not everyone, but majority of people commute. So I live in what's called a commuter belt. That means I live in an area of homes in the UK that most people there commute into London if they're of working age.
Not all of them, but most people. People live here because it's cheaper to live there than it is to live in central London, and there's more houses, and you've got bigger houses and bigger gardens and a nicer standard of living. It's called a commuter belt. Big wrap-around circle all the way around London. For those of you who live in the commuter belt, you're thinking, stop teaching me to suck eggs. So, moving on. So, if you live in a commuter area, and everyone in your area gets up at about 6:30, 6, 7, and they're on the train by 8:30, they've left their house at sort of 7:45, 8, and they're going up to London, they're going to work, and they get home at 6 p.m. Having a shop that opens at 9 after they've all left their house, and having a shop that closes at 5:30, 5, 6, before they've got home, means you're going to miss every single person that earns a decent wage because you're not convenient. You're closed. It's not even not convenient. You're just closed. You're not even a company to them. So this is about being accessible. So you've got to start thinking, am I open for the right hours for the majority of people within my demographic, within my target customer base? So if you just sell milk, that's a pretty broad section of people, except for vegans, but you could have vegan milk options. Are you open when people want those things? If you sell a product that's predominantly bought by the middle class, chances are your customer is of working age and works. Therefore, are you open when they're around? Or are you just relying on one day working week, Saturday? That's a danger. How about you make the rest of those working days work harder for you? An investment of £10 to £15 a day in extra wages may result in an extra revenue of £100, £200 per day. So the cost to have it open for a bit longer and people get to know that you're open, because it does take time. We have this with Sundays in our shops. It takes a bit of time. Having been open a little bit longer means you'll get more revenue potentially. So what do you invest to what you get out? You've got to think about that. So that's convenience. And there's a number of different things with convenience as well. Let's talk about how people can get information on your website, how people can find out what you stock. Are you using things like Google business pages? Are you updating those photos? To give you an idea, the number of people now that will find your business from Google is phenomenal. Even if you haven't got a website, but you've got a Google map listing. Have you got a Google map listing? Is it easy to find your business? Are you verified on Google? It's free, it's simple, it's easy to do. It means people can find out milk shop near me. And if you're the nearest milk shop to them, you're going to come up on their phone and all they've got to do is press directions. But that's only going to happen if you're verified on Google. It doesn't require an outsourced consultant. It doesn't require a social media manager. It just requires you to spend 2 minutes online working out how to do it. It's very, very easy. In fact, I can put information about this in the comments section of where you can find a video on how to do that. It's so, so simple. And you then look at the insights, and that's the data that brings up every single week, every single month, of how many people have looked or seen your page as an impression or your listing, or how many people have seen your, have asked for directions. And it's phenomenal. For us, in my own industry, in Vape and Juice, it's one of our biggest drivers of traffic when we open up a location. You ask people, how did you find our store? And if it's not word of mouth, they'll say Google. Or they might say they drove past, but generally it's Google. It's phenomenally often Google. It's incredible. And if you're not updating opening hours, people used to put opening hours on their door. Do you know what? I don't really like putting opening hours on doors because I think it's a bit ridiculous, because you can't update it very easily without scraping it all off and doing it again. And people aren't going to drive all the way down there and go, oh, that's when they're open tomorrow. Good. I'll pop back tomorrow then. Maybe the day after. Take a little photo. They're going to check Google. So people want to see those things. Are you putting those things on Google? And also, if you update your photos frequently, because if you take a photo when you first open it and stick it on Google, and then you don't change it for 3 years, your shop's going to look out of date. And if you've done a load of money on work and refurbishment and development, and all they're seeing is old your shop, you're going to put people off potentially. There's a reason why you've invested in the refurb. Make sure people can see it. So that's all ties into convenience. And again, if you have a website, do you have a questions and answer section? Do you have an FAQs? And then finally, in your store, your layout. Is it clear? Is it cluttered? Have you thought about the customer journey? A lot of people, I still get it now, and I have to get my staff, my team members, and I say, look, I want to show you something. And they're standing behind the counter and they're sort of looking around to where I'm going to point. And I'm like, no. Come around the counter and come and stand here as a customer. Because I want you to be happy as a member of staff. But I'll be honest with you, I don't hugely care about what you see from your position there. I care about what they see, the customers, the people that pay our wages see. I want you to stand where they're standing and you imagine that you're a customer now. And what do you see? Oh, there's clutter on the floor, there's wrappers on the floor, there's mess on the floor, there's dust there. I can see dust here. That means it's a dirty shop. That's not a very clean shop. That's not very hygienic. I don't want to shop here. Do you get what I'm saying? All these things. You start looking around the shop. Oh, why is that screen not on? That looks a bit embarrassing. That's a bit amateur. That's not very professional. Why is, you know, those products not pushed forward on the shelves there? That looks untidy. That looks unprofessional. All these things are subconscious cues for a shopper that tells them whether or not you are a shop worth coming back to, or if you're a bit of a fly-by-night. You don't want to let that happen. But also, if it's messy or if it's not clear, people don't think you have something. Here's a little analogy. It's not even an analogy, it's a story. I had a shop in a place called South Church, my very first shop in Southend in Essex. And we didn't have a lot of storage space. I've never been a shop fitter. I don't know. I was kind of winging a lot of it. I'm quite open about that. I've learned on the job, and I've learned an awful lot on the job. And I think I'm probably pretty well positioned now to get a job in Tesco's. But I wasn't at the time. So we had a lot of our stock was under the shelves, under the counter. You couldn't really see it. And we have like a little menu card, and we go, here's what we've got. Anyway, I paid about a grand or so, and I got some shelves that were made to measure. I mean, nothing fancy, but they fitted into the back of the shop space. And so then what we did, we moved all of our stock from under the counter to on the shelves. Our sales went up that next week by a huge percentage, because people were coming in going, oh, wow, you got loads of new stuff. Because it was easier for them to see that we had new stuff than it was to read a menu and notice the difference, because an awful lot of people are visual cued. That means they see things visually and take it in a lot easier than if they read it. And that is a huge volume of people that we suddenly went, kazing, we got new stuff. And we did sell loads more stuff. People got a lot more engaged. They thought, wow, you know, you really invested in it. And all we did was put some shelves up. We just moved the stock. We had the stock. It didn't cost us any more than just putting some shelves up. So that's a form of convenience too, because you're making it convenient for them to see that you've got brand new products and that you have the products that might tick their boxes. One of the top things you want to think about as well when you're thinking about convenience, you're talking about accessibility. Accessibility is quite simply people's ability to access you. So obviously I talked about opening hours just a moment ago. Are you open at the right times? If everyone around you only doesn't work at all, or they're all home-based, then you could probably be open from 10 till 4. Yeah, wouldn't really make much difference. You probably want to make sure they definitely work, or you're going to have a very low spending power community to work with. But, you know, thinking about accessibility is really important. But something else with accessibility is things like when you get your shop, what's parking like? Now, look, if you live in an area like a central city, like New York or London, places with an established metro system, an awful lot of people don't have a car. Doesn't matter. Not really a major factor. But if you live in an area out of the big cities where people drive, parking's really important. Or providing a parking solution. So that could be giving people free parking if they shop in your store. Or you bring your ticket in and you refund them the price of the ticket for half an hour's parking or an hour's parking. Stick a poster in the window, illuminate it, LED, like an estate agent's one, but a big bright one that's on at night. We'll pay your parking, come in. Things like that. People think, oh, that's cool. If they're price sensitive, you can catch them in that way. But accessibility is really important. So when you get your shop, are you straight outside a bus stop where a bus is going to be outside for ages, blocking the view of the shop? Some people think, hey, that's great. We're right on a bus stop. Yes, it can be good, but perhaps consider finding a location that's just a few yards up or a few yards back. What you don't want is a great big whopping blank canvas blocking your shop front for an hour or so a day, every day, or 2 hours a day when the bus keeps coming in there. People can't just pull up on their car and jump out. So that's something to think about. You'll find bus routes will be busier towards the morning and the end of the day, but the buses are still going to be going around blocking your entrance. So you can have your entrance blocked by a bus, or your parking space area blocked by a bus, or the front of your shop blocked by a bus, to repeat it three times. With no one on there in the daytime when you're open. When you're closed is when your potential customers are on the bus, going to work, coming back from work. Are they going to get off the bus for your shop? Maybe, maybe not. I would just say, look, think about the accessibility and the visual accessibility and the visual convenience and the physical conveniences. If you have a shop that's literally off front in a bus lane, someone's done this to us recently. They've tried to compete with one of our stores. They picked the kind of the gloomy, shaded, dark side of the road across the street, thinking they're going to penny pinch our customers, but they're right in a bus stop. And this will be famous last words, but it's just a bit of a bad location because there's always a bus there, so no one's going to pull in there. So if you go past it and suddenly see it, you can't just suddenly just pull in. People stick there. In the UK, we've got double yellows. I don't know what you've got in America or Australia, but you have double yellows mean you can't park there. But look, let's be honest, in the UK, we stick our cars in double yellows quite a lot of the time. if we're only going to run in there for 2 seconds, or if it's out of hours or wherever, we'll give it a chance. You can't even do that with a bus stop there, because there's a bus stop going there, and no one wants to get a bus beeping them when they're in a shop buying their, you know, their shoes, their jumper, their milk, whatever. So convenience and accessibility all go hand in hand. Really have a think about where you're getting that shop if you haven't got it already yet. I've actually done a podcast on top things to look at to get yourself a shop location. But if you've got a shop location and it's in a bus stop, well, let's fix this, okay? Get yourself a scraper, get yourself a fresh tin of paint, and just move it up the street a few metres. No, seriously, if you've got that, well, there's tons of other ways you can compete in the marketplace. But if you are looking for a unit and it's sat on a bus stop area, if there's no shops ever available a few metres up or a few metres down, then, you know, it's a tough one, because you might think the market or the opportunity is too big. And that can happen. So you could have where you are be first mover to market. There's no one else doing this. You can pick a slightly off location because you're going to get people from far and wide because no one's doing this. First mover advantage. But as soon as you start doing it, and if it starts picking up, look for a better spot. But that's it. So that's accessibility. That's convenience. How convenient is it to jump into your shop? That's what you need to be thinking about. And if your shop is way more convenient to jump into and grab your product than someone waiting a day, 2 days, 3 days for Amazon or eBay, then you're onto something. And so that is why one of the key things you need to think about in running a retail business before you even worry about, Amazon's going to beat you on price, is, are you convenient? Get that? So that's number one. Number one way to win at retail is think about it, do it. Are you convenient? How can you be more convenient? How do you work to convenience? And if you've not thought about it, you are missing one of the major factors of winning at retail. Number two coming up.
Thanks for listening to today's show. Check us out online, themobshow.com. Check us on Twitter, the_mobshow. Always chucking out bits of advice there. And follow our journey of setting up a CBD shop in the cannabis space. Instagram @localCBDshop. Or you can find ourselves on Instagram, the_mobshow.